You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Travel, accommodations, and access to the Outer Worlds preview event was provided by Private Division. Of the What's Good Games podcast, your source for video game news, commentary, analysis, and funny stuff every Friday. I'm Andrea Renee, joined by Miss Brittany Brombacher.
Hello.
And Miss Christine Steimer.
Hello.
We're all together here in Santa Monica, California, to play The Outer Worlds, an upcoming RPG from Obsidian Entertainment being published by Private Division. And we all finally got to play, get hands-on with the game. Now, we're going to talk about our impressions in just a little bit, but right now, we've got a very special guest joining us. It's Carrie Patel, one of the senior narrative designers from Obsidian, is here with us. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, we first got to see this as a group at E3. You guys were doing a behind-closed-doors presentation. It just happened to be my personal pick for Game of Show for E3.
I believe it was mine as well.
It was.
Was it yours? Or was
no.
It? Yours was Final Fantasy.
Awkward. It was right behind Final Fantasy VII.
Still very honored.
Yes. But it was a really fun demo for us to see because, obviously, Obsidian has such a rich history in the RPG space. You guys have made so many games and quite a diverse selection of RPGs as well. So let's talk about what The Outer Worlds is. So we know that we're in this colony on the edge of the universe or the galaxy. I'm not quite sure what the official lore is. Maybe you can clarify that for us. And we got woken up by this crazy scientist, this guy named Phineas Wells, and now we're this space person on this colony, and what are we doing there?
So that's kind of where we leave it up to the player. So the idea is that you, the player, are the unknown variable in the Halcyon colony. As you saw from the demo, and as you probably played today, the Halcyon colony is very much controlled by corporations, really moneyed interests, and they wield a ton of power, and they really have a ton of say over what life is like for people in this colony. But the player comes in as an outsider, and so they're really going to get to make some choices that will sort of chart the course of how things go in Halcyon. And, they kind of get to decide who they're going to play nice with and what kind of future they see for this colony.
Well, obviously RPGs are all about embodying who you want to be in a game. Like, the whole idea is it's a role-playing game.
Maybe who you don't want to be and you just want to have super fun with it and just be a wacky person like Brittany and
or be
I,
an asshole, just, Steimer. Say it
yeah,
how it is.
Yeah,
just, did you shoot everybody?
No, I did.
So here's the thing. When I play RPGs like this and I'm given a choice, I'm always the nice person. I'm always the person trying to help everyone and save everyone. But for this demo, I was like, okay, I'm just going to live a separate life here.
It's so liberating,
it
right?
It was. Yeah. What was the name? The first man you meet, the guard who was injured, who you can save.
Yeah. It's like you patch him up.
Both of us
patched him up. Took his gun. I called him stupid, and then I shot him in the face. And I was like,
"Yeah,
you were hot, but
it was that moment.
You were pretty dumb.
I know. It was that moment where I have the handgun, and I'm thinking about. It. I'm never gonna do this in my actual playthrough because I don't like eliminating quests that
we
go
wouldn't
along.
Judge you.
Thank you. And shot him right in the face. And that was a very liberating feeling.
You guys are terrible people.
I mean, I lied to almost everybody that I could in this run through. Because, yeah, same with Brittany. Like, in my actual playthroughs, I try to not be super goody two-shoes because I don't like it. Like, I want to have a bit of edge. I'm a bit salty.
I mean,
salty,
you are
you know?
A salty yeah. Steimer, yes.
So, like, but in this one, I was like, screw it, I'm just going to lie to everybody. Who cares?
Yeah. It felt really good. I may have just discovered my new favorite way of playing video games. Yeah. So it was interesting, though, because I wanted to ask. So is it possible to kill all the side quest givers in this game?
So there are some quests where, in some cases, if you kill the quest giver and the only person you have to turn the quest in with, then it will fail because there's nothing else to do with that content.
But could you kill him after?
Probably. Yeah. I have a wicked expression
on. You have to get what you need from people before you kill them. Yes.
It's all about timing.
These are great life lessons.
Yes, exactly. Wait till you get paid, and then you can do what you want.
So does that mean, conversely, you can also do a non-lethal playthrough where you don't kill anybody?
So you can. There are definitely pacifist solutions to a lot of our content, to most of our content. I mean, we have dialogue skills. We obviously have stealth. So there's a whole lot you can do without killing other characters, if that's the way you want to play. And you can still be very nasty, as you saw. You can lie. You can sneak. You can steal. So it can still
be fun. I tried pickpocketing someone, and they were like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Nothing."
You look like you had some dirt on you. I was just brushing it off.
Yeah. Your coat.
Did they believe you?
They did, because I always invest in dialogue.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Dialogue is the number one thing I go for when I play an RPG like this. It's just like,
yeah, mm-hmm. I like charming people as well. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, Carrie, is the companion system. Mm-hmm. So a really fun part of our playthrough today is that we had, a couple people with us, and their personality traits will ultimately affect your playthrough, and what you do as a character will, influence how they view you as a companion as well. And I would love to hear from you about, what went into creating that system and just like how deep that system truly goes.
So we really did want the players' companions to feel like, their shipmates and their crew. And, you look at something like Firefly, and it's just this, ragtag group of, miscreants all thrown together and, journeying across the galaxy together. So we wanted to create that same feel with our companions. We wanted players to really feel their presence throughout the game. So yeah, as you noted, there are mechanical benefits to having them. They all obviously have their own special attacks. And, if you level up something like leadership, you'll really get to benefit from that a lot. They also have certain skills that they're good at. So, if you take a companion that's really good at engineering or really good at lying, they may help you pass some of those checks a bit more easily. But yeah, also we wanted them to have a presence, in a relationship with each other and with other characters in the world. So we spent a lot of time writing banters for them and giving them stuff to say.
I was
say.
So happy when I heard them talking
Me
to each
too.
Other.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yay. Well, they're not friends yet, but they might be friends soon.
But yeah, like you'll see them chime in conversations with other NPCs. You'll see them talk back and forth as you're wandering around the world. And when you're exploring your ship, you may see them talking to one another there too.
We are all about the waifus and husbandos here.
Yes.
At What's Good Games. So the first question I think a lot of people had when you guys talked about the companion system was, who can we romance and can we romance? Is that part of the system?
Can we bang is what we're trying to ask.
Even if you can't bang, can I give someone a ring and be like, you mine?
It is. I'm afraid it's all in your head.
That's fine.
It's something we've learned that is. There you go.
We have enough imagination.
We love writing companions and we love writing, interesting content for them. But we've certainly realized it's a really big investment to pull romances off well. And I think especially starting off with the new IP, we wanted to make sure and bolster some other areas of our content and make sure we could get, there's a lot of world building, a lot of writing, a lot of storytelling we had to do. So
waifu DLC.
Maybe. I'd be down.
I would also be down.
Well, I mean,
just
but you're killing everybody, so it might be hard for you
to
find
Brittany.
Somebody.
Brittany's killing everybody.
That was,
I'm lying to everybody.
Oh, so it sets the foundation for a good relationship.
Based on lies.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect romance.
But is that not how it works?
No, Steimer, definitely not.
All right.
But I do want to talk about this new IP. As you mentioned, the whole universe of The Outer Worlds is brand new and it's set in outer space. Is there a reason why you guys decided to go with this space theme?
I think we were inspired by a lot of Golden Age sci-fi, a lot of pulp. And so we really, the fun thing obviously about setting something in outer space and in a new solar system is that, you can create the worlds you want. And there's a lot of freedom to play, for us as developers to create something really new, and for players themselves when they finally get to experience it, to hopefully find something that they haven't seen in other games.
Like Sisty Pig.
Oh boy. So I might have some questions about Sisty Pig.
I just want to know what level of intoxicated you are to get an idea like that, because I was talking to them. I was like, this feels like something you say when you've had a few and you're like, but like, would you eat a tumor if it tasted like bacon? Like, I feel like that was the conversation that had to have happened.
I was not in the room, but I believe that idea came from Tim Kaine, and he has like these daily chocolate meetings. So who knows? Like, he's notorious for being a very, very big chocolate enthusiast.
I feel like these are things so we need to incorporate into What's Good Games.
Yeah. Do you want chocolate meetings?
Okay. Noted. Continue.
So yeah, I mean, who knows what he thought up under the influence of all these wonderful chocolate fueled endorphins?
Mm. Okay,
that's my private theory. Anyway.
Chocolate is your personal drug.
Listen, chocolate's a fantastic drug, and it's safe for everybody. Well, most people.
Most people. Well, some people are allergic to chocolate.
Oh, yeah, not dogs.
No. Well, dogs aren't people. But that's a conversation for...
Speak for yourself.
Or unless are they in the outer world.
I object to that.
So let's talk a little bit about the way that the progression of the narrative is going to go. So one of the things I thought was interesting from the presentation that we saw in the Behind Closed Doors demo at E3 was maybe this allusion to... You don't quite know who Halcyon is. You think that they may be the bad guy, but maybe they're not the bad guy, ? I know that we don't want to obviously...
What is good or bad?
Don't really want to give anything away, but it seems like it's pretty early on to kind of question this idea of like whether they're good or bad. Is that where, you know, Dr. Wells comes into play? Is he a doctor? Is he a professor? What's his deal?
I mean, I couldn't say where he got his degree from, but that's definitely in his title. Part of what we wanted to explore with this game was, you know, this darkly humorous satire on corporate culture and, you know, propaganda-driven society and consumer culture. There's a lot of interesting room in there to sort of, you know, let the player draw their own conclusions, I guess. And, you know, we try not to make too many things super cut and dried. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting for players to see themselves when it comes out in October.
Well, because that was one of the big things you guys were really emphasizing with mm-hmm. the demo was this concept of the morally gray choices, right? Mm-hmm. That when you go into these conversations, these narrative trees with these characters, it's not going to be like one or the other. It's going to be this sliding scale of, do you think this is the right thing? And how everybody's approach to what the right thing is mm-hmm. going to be dramatically different.
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely fair.
So is there a distinct moral compass in this game? It's just kind of you make your decisions based off. It's not like, you know, in typical think of like D&D where it's like mm-hmm. you've made a chaotic neutral decision and it notes that.
Yeah, there's not like a morality scale.
Okay.
And I mean, I think one thing is, you know, the consequences of your actions, you know, may not become immediately apparent. So you may do one thing and find, you know, later on that the effects may or may not be what you expected.
Would you say then, like, basically the only real moral compasses in the game are your companions and, like, based on what they do or, like, do or do not like? If you want to keep them, that is.
I mean, they have very different takes on a lot of the situations you'll face, which is part of what makes them an interesting bunch is, you know, you talk to Felix and you're going to hear one thing. You talk to Ellie or Nyoka and you might hear something very different. So, I mean, they're certainly good sounding boards for some of the big choices and dilemmas that you'll face as a player. But, I mean, even they are not entirely reliable because they have their own perspectives.
Now,
is
anyone reliable?
No. No, they can leave if you piss them off, right? Or not. Did I make that up?
I thought I heard that.
I thought
somewhere.
I had heard that too.
Somewhere on the internet.
It is possible, yeah, under some circumstances for some of them to leave. I mean, it's not something that we wanted it to be like, oh, you have to, you know, really game all these points with them to keep them happy with you. But I mean, yeah, there are certain things that are extreme enough that they might leave you if you do them.
So with all of these different narrative choices, that leaves me to go, does this mean I have to play this game like a dozen times to like see all of the content? Because clearly some of the choices you make, as you mentioned, are going to affect your playthrough later on. Did you guys design that for replayability or was it a system you put in place more for player choice?
It's a bit of both. And I mean, I see those things as going hand in hand, you know, like the fact that there are so many different ways you can play and so many different ways you can interact with characters and with these scenarios, you know, means you're going to see new stuff if you play again. And, you know, hopefully if you're someone who enjoys, you know, stealth and combat and, you know, like dialogue focused characters, then, you know, hopefully in different playthroughs, you'll find something in each of those play styles that'll be fun and rewarding.
Awesome. Ladies, any more narrative questions for Carrie?
I think we covered all the important ones, like the romance. Got to use that noggin for that imagination.
That's something that you are in no shortage of, dear Brittany.
When is your fanfic coming out? How soon after this game launches?
Well, talk about that later, Summer.
Okay.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for chatting with us today, and we look forward to learning more from you about the Outer Worlds.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, everybody, we are back with Brian Hines, another member of the Obsidian Entertainment team. He is one of the lead designers at Obsidian working on The Outer Worlds.
I'm a senior designer on the team, actually.
Well, you know what? One day you'll be a lead.
I mean, I'll take the promotion.
We just promoted you. Congratulations.
Can I have my boss call you guys to negotiate my salary?
Yes.
That'd be great.
We are really good negotiators.
Excellent.
I don't
She's
know if Carrie
really
told
good.
You.
Yeah. Get Andrea on your team.
I mean, I just got an agent out of this. This is great.
Yeah, listen,
welcome.
When you do a show with What's Good Games, doors just open for you.
Or close.
I like it.
But it's fine.
So we were asking you right before we got you on the couch here about what kind of designing you do on the team.
Yes. So on The Outer Worlds, I've been primarily doing area design, so creating areas, working on quests. I was managing a team of people actually going through, like, iterating and prototyping areas and doing all that kind of stuff. At Obsidian, I've also done system design. I was game director on Tyranny, and I've done some narrative design work as well for the company.
So just a few things.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Dabble here, dabble there. You know, I think that title bump is, you know,
it's worth
it. Seems good at this
you
point.
You earned it, man. Yeah.
We'll put in the good word.
Excellent.
Let's talk about some of the mechanics and the systems that we've seen here in our playthrough. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned at the beginning of the segment, we all got to play the game today, and we got a nice big chunk and to look at some of the RPG systems at play. Obviously, the good basis for any RPG is a questing system.
Yes.
Is there something that you guys wanted to specifically achieve with the questing system here, or were you kind of going for the if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
One of the nice things about Obsidian's quest tool is that basically both our conversation system and our quest system are things we've been working on from game to game. So it's something that we've beat the crap out of on a lot of different titles, and we've really been able to really develop it and get a lot of functionality out of it. And we have our tools programmers who are constantly looking at, like, whenever there's a GDC presentation about some other company's tools, they're like hawks looking at every single thing. Oh, they have different drop-down boxes here. Oh, we could do that. It's like looking for ways to improve the workflow, because, like, when you write as many dialogues and make as many quests as we do, you always want to find the best ways to make it as most efficient as possible.
So how many different quests can we expect to see? Just like a ballpark number.
Oof.
Hundreds?
Earn that new
thousands?
Title,
sir. Lower.
Dozens?
I mean, I think there's definitely like somewhere in the neighborhood of like 50, 60 different quests easily. Yes. I'm probably vastly underestimating the number. I'm just starting to think of the ones I know for sure are like made it to the final game. But yeah, like every quest involves like a lot of writing, a lot of dialogue from like narrative designers like Carrie and other designers on the team. So like each one of these is a months of work for the team to put together and get to the point where you guys can actually play it.
Well, one of the things that I really liked about the presentation that I saw both at Judges Week and at E3 was this idea around making an RPG that wasn't insurmountable. Because
yes.
So many games these days are focusing on these large open world experiences mm-hmm. that feel like they take forever to finish. And you guys had said, you know, we want to still give the player that sense of, you know, a big, expansive, well-designed world.
Yes.
But nothing that felt like it was overwhelming. Like, how do you find that balance?
Budget helps, definitely. Like, when you only have a certain amount of money, you're forced to make choices and figure out how much you can actually do. But I think a lot of it was like when we were looking at The Outer Worlds, we wanted it to be worlds. We wanted to create multiple areas for the player to go and explore, like different planets, different space stations, your own ship to travel around on, and get that real sci-fi experience. And then within that, we're like, okay, for all these areas, we got to figure out how do we fill these with content to the point where you're running around, you can find new enemies to fight, you can find new quests, you can find new people to make friends with and then kill later on.
Yeah.
So,
Oh no, we might be in trouble, Andrea.
So with so many quests, how much weight does each quest have?
So there's a different categories of quests. Mm-hmm. The way we approach them, there's like our crit path quests that are the minimum that you need to do to go through the entire story of the game. We have our quests for our companions. We have different factions groups in the game that have their own quest lines. And then we have like just kind of side quests and tasks you can find as just individual people in the world might ask you to do certain things.
In terms of like level balancing, though, could you actually just critical path it? Or would you it seems like you would need to do some side quests in order to be like the appropriate level and be able to fight people if you need to.
So, I mean, it depends on how much of a challenge you want, because we've actually had people on the team who know the system well, who've done just a pure crit path playthrough, and they're vastly underleveled, and the combats are very tough, but they've managed to like take things out by knowing how like where to put the points in their skills and what perks to purchase for the characters, that sort of thing.
They know how to min-max.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
So that could be like a second or third playthrough for somebody mm-hmm. who maybe wants to make different choices.
Absolutely.
With some of the critical path missions to see how it plays out instead.
Yes. Yeah, one of the things Tim Kaine has been doing recently is he's basically been picking a different style of player to try and emulate, and then he plays with the entire game trying to make every decision as though he's that style of player. Sometimes he's like, oh, I'm going to focus on these two skills and stealth or dialogue or whatever and see how does that experience play out. Is it fun? If it's not, how do we make it fun? And like that's really what he's been focusing on over the past few months is like how do we like we've created all these different options for players. Let's make sure they're actually viable and they're actually fun and interesting.
So does that mean that you guys are going to have a new game plus option? Or is that when you want to play again, you start from scratch?
Well, you start from scratch when you play again.
Okay. I kind of like that, though, because then you really get to experience the game as if you were truly playing it as a different perspective and a different style.
Definitely.
Altogether.
Yeah.
Are you guys contemplating maybe doing a new game plus mode?
Not that I can talk about right now, no.
Okay.
Fair enough.
That's fair. So we were talking with Carrie a little bit about the mm-hmm. companion system and narratively how your companions are going to be interacting
yeah.
with your player character. From a quest perspective, obviously, there are companion quests. We
yes.
saw one in the playthrough that we got hands-on mm-hmm. with today.
With Nyoka's quest, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is that going to be something that's going to be a focal point, or are those truly going to be like optional if you want to just explore that narrative arc with your companions?
They're definitely there for players who really want to like dive into like knowing more about their companions. Like, because if you just want to pick them up and have them like join you to like kill people with, that's definitely an option of play style. If you want to like delve into their personalities and like what makes them tick, those companion quests give you a lot of insight into their characters and like what led them to being the type of person who's going to join your crew, and how like the actions you do on that quest, how does that shape them as a crew member going forward.
So is it mostly just like a personality deep dive, or are there any gameplay elements attached to it? Because we've seen in other games that like you need to do a companion mm-hmm. quest in order to make that companion fully like powerful.
So it's basically both.
Okay,
basically,
cool.
You learn a lot about the companion, and if you do go through those quests, you gain rewards that help like unlock the most potential for the companion, I'll say.
Cool.
Go ahead, Britt.
No, you're good. So are those fully optional? You don't have to do those companion quests?
Correct, yes.
Okay, yeah. And do you initiate them by just randomly chatting with your companions?
So it depends based on the companions. Certain things, like as Carrie mentioned, all of the companions have different points of view on the events that take place in the game. And as you're doing other quests, they will like chime in and give you information. And based on how you choose to do certain things, it will unlock options to start their companion quests.
Mm.
So based on how you're tackling the main story, your companions will either agree with you or very much disagree and try and like use their quest as a way to get you to agree with them instead.
Is it possible to please everyone?
No.
That's not real life.
I know, but I try so hard. I can't
also, do that in real life.
I know. Like, we're also talking about a game where you're in space and there's pigs with bacon tumors.
It's true.
The best creature ever, basically.
Bacon tumors to too big. I did want to talk about their specials, which I thought was something mm-hmm. that's very unique. There's obviously companions in RPGs is something
yes.
that we've seen a lot of developers mm-hmm. do, but I thought it was really neat that they each have like a unique special ability.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I like that it pulls like a cool cinematic whenever they use it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and then they have like this real intense face on, and you're like, yes, kill that thing.
Yeah, Nyoka, I mean, I love her heavy machine gun attack. It's like her face just like, just she wants everything dead immediately, yeah. And she's so into it. It's great. Like just the expression on her face, the animators had a lot of fun with that.
So are we going to be able to find those companions through the critical path?
Yes.
Or are you going to have to go exploring to find all of the companions in the game? Like, is it possible that I might miss a potential companion?
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
No. The stress is on.
Let me guess. That's the best companion, too. It's going to be, like, the coolest one.
I mean, it depends. Like, I think one of the nice things about the way we try to design our companions is that different players might have different ideas about who is the best companion. And in the office, we have discussions about who our favorite companions are, and everyone disagrees. Like, different people have their different, like, camps on which companion is their favorite.
Have you voted yet?
I have. I mean, obviously, I know
who
the best is.
Has there been an internal vote, though? Like, is there, like, a declared winner for Obsidian?
So, occasionally, we use, like, Slack internally to chat back and forth. There have been various polls internally about which companions are favorites. Or, like, when you had the E3 demo video, when you saw Felix doing his dropkick attack, like that would spark people's debates. Like, yeah, Felix is the best. And then everyone would start talking about, no, Nyoka, come on, she's the best. So that happens a lot.
Pay attention to the cosplay community and they will answer for you.
Absolutely.
Who comes out on top. I did want to mention a little nugget that you dropped when we were talking just a few minutes ago about multiple planets. So we obviously only saw one planet in the demo today. So you're telling me there's space travel in the Outer Worlds?
There is, yes.
It's called the Outer Worlds.
Worlds
plural. Yes.
Exactly. So how many different planets are we talking about here?
When the game releases in October, you can find
more
out.
More than one. Because there's an S. So.
But yeah, like we have multiple planets you can visit, like space stations, various structures in space that you can find, can explore, asteroids that you can visit, and that sort of thing. So there's a variety within the Halcyon system of places to explore and travel to.
Is the travel part of that going to be a mechanic, or is it more focused on just the new environments? For example, like, are you going to pilot a spaceship, for example? Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about that part of the game yet. That's something we'll be talking about more as we get closer to launch.
Okay.
So, yeah, I can't really say too much about it right now.
Dang. Thought we were going to get a scoop here.
Nah.
What's good scoops? Not.
That's okay. No, that's all right. To maybe wrap up this interview, I'd love to hear from you about something that you, as part of the design team, are really proud of or really excited for players to get their hands on, something that you think is uniquely Obsidian.
I mean, the entire game itself is something that Obsidian makes. I mean, we've been making RPGs for decades now between both starting out in Black Isle and now with Obsidian. Like, there's people who have been with both Black Isle and Obsidian for multiple decades now. And that, like, history and, like, depth of, like, achievement and past that people have it's amazing. Because basically there's various people at the studio who have been there since day one and are still with the studio. And there's a shared language that's really great to be a part of and to see, like, the overall development of the game. And everything from the companions, like, how we tell stories, how we design faction quests, and the overall narrative, that all comes from all of the games we've made before and how that has developed over time. So I think definitely, if you're looking for that Western RPG Obsidian experience, you're going to find it in the Outer Worlds.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Can confirm.
That's a good soundbite.
Yeah.
Indeed. Any final questions, ladies?
Nay.
Well, I mean, I have a bunch.
I have more.
But I bet we're going to get a lot of, we're not talking about that yet.
Well, I want to ask a random thing.
Okay.
Because I feel, because obviously one of the things Obsidian is known for is its humor. Mm-hmm. And this comes out a lot in this game. So I'm just curious, like, is it just the narrative people that have to be funny to work there? Or, like, is it part of your interview process? Like, maybe you don't know the answer to this, but I'm just, like, now very curious as to what the qualifications would be for somebody to, like, come work at Obsidian.
I mean, there's generally a decent number of funny people who work at the studio, and some of the jokes that you see in the game were not written by the narrative people. They were something that was an animator suggested, or a programmer made a smart-ass comment in email, and that became, oh, that's going into the game. So that collaborative environment we have, that really helps drive a lot of that as well. I mean, to be fair, the narrative designer spent a lot of time refining the jokes and making it clear, so I don't want to downplay
that. They take the nuggets and they polish them up.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. Well, I mean, everybody thinks they're funny when they tell the joke the first time. And I'm sure the narrative people are like, yeah, dude, that's so
funny. Yeah, but it would
funny.
Be better if it was like this, flip some words around and you're like, oh, that
Boom.
Is better.
Now it's gold. Now it's Sissy Pigs.
Like, Sissy Pigs.
Completely random. But have you guys seen the Amazon show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Absolutely.
Like that, the series where she's going through refining her act and you see like just her bombing time after time after time. Like that's what like writing comedy is. Like, half the time, you have no idea if it's funny until somebody like reads it and laughs. And half the stuff that you people have been laughing about wasn't funny until we got a voice actor delivering the lines. Because when we just usually do like our text-to-speech or our robo-voice, nothing is funny in robo-voice.
Of course. I think it's actually way funnier when a robot's saying it.
Okay. That's a voice actor delivering with robot processing. So they know where to do the delivery. When it's pure just text-to-speech,
okay. It
is dry and bland.
Well, maybe someday we'll get the secret recordings of Robo Voice from
you
the
You should. That'd be a great. Oh, my God.
Yes. Director's cut.
I would pay DLC for that.
There you go. See,
I
we're just
you
giving
feel
you
like
gold
you've stolen
here.
Your money at that point.
He's like, no, you just gave me a bunch of garbage. I don't know why you're doing this. Please stop.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for chatting with us
thank
today
for
and for letting us play the game. We're very pumped for the game to come out. And could you remind us one more time of when people can play The Outer Worlds?
Yeah, the game releases on October 25th of this year.
All right, just a few months away, everybody.
Yes.
Big.
All right. Well, we'll have lots more content for you guys on our regularly scheduled show. But thanks for tuning in to our special episode. And we'll see you guys later. Bye.
I don't know why I waved.
I was going to wait, but I stopped myself.
I was like, wait, we're not on camera this time. Oh, well.